Shalom and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Om, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is a recording of Rabbi Adam Klickfeld's weekly Rashi study class.
Hello to anyone who's listening to the Temple Beth Om podcast series. A reminder, did I put it in the WhatsApp chat yet that we're not meeting next 2 weeks? I did, right?
Yes.
It's a reminder that this will be the last class until actually 3 weeks from today, because next Wednesday and the Wednesday after that, both I and Leonard will be not here. It's a nice tune. Okay, let us jump to where we are, chapter 9, verse 27. We're still in a stretch where Rashi has nothing to say, so we're going to look at two commentaries on verse 27 once we read the verse, unless there's anything lingering over from verse 26. Yeah. Rosemary?
Hold on, microphone.
Oh, as it is the first day of spring, I had a mind of utter to add to what you said last time.
Okay.
About the comments that he was saying, like in Goshen was like Shabbat when the hail was the other place.
Right.
I thought I just wanted to embellish it that we can say all the, because we were worrying about birds and insects, everything. And that day, all the birds and butterflies went to Goshen. So they had this beautiful thing around going, and the other side was the hail.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Okay, so I'll read verse 26 just to get us going, and then we'll actually start 27. Again, chapter 9, verse 26. Rak, Yativ, Eretz Goshen, only in the land of Goshen, Asher Sham B'nai Israel, where B'nai Israel was, Lo Haya Barad, there was no hail. Right? We read, I forgot whom we read on that verse, but it wasn't Rashi because he's quiet on that. Anything lingering about that verse? Let's go to verse 27. Leonard, do you want to read verse 27?
Vayishlach paro vayikra l'moshe ula Aharon vayomar aleihem chatati hapam Adonai hatzadik va'ani ve'ami harashayim. And Pharaoh sent for and called Moshe and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned. I'm guilty. And God is right, or God is righteous. And I and my people are bad guys.
Good.
How would you
render hapa'am?
Oh, where's hapa'am? Hold on. Okay, I'm wrong this time.
I'm wrong this time, okay? And it's interesting that Larry suggested it's the most important word, because in at least one of the commentaries we're going to read, that is indeed the word that raises the most amount of question, not in terms of how to translate it, but how to place it in the verse and what the emphasis of it is. First of all, remember that, you know, we use the word tzaddik in modern Jew speak to be like a righteous person. Biblically, it more had to do with right versus wrong. And obviously, the word right is built into the word righteous, but we don't necessarily think of it that way. Remember in the story of Sodom and Amorah, right, the verb is used to describe whether or not God is correct in the assessment of what's going on there. So tzaddik here does not necessarily mean does a lot of mitzvahs, right? As particularly describing God, but correct on the right side of things as opposed to the wrong side of things, right? So it's not necessarily Pharaoh speaking Hebrew, assessing God's character, but more God's on the right side, I'm on the wrong side. Okay, let's play around because the vocabulary words themselves are pretty simple. How do people understand the use of the word chatati, I have sinned, which again, it's hard for us to hear that word and not filter it through the machzor, right? That does not necessarily mean that the way the machzor uses the word chatati is the same as the biblical word. How do we understand chatati, and how do we understand what hapam is doing there? Ilan, just give the microphone.
Yeah, that was the thing that struck me the first time, because if you read chatati is I have sinned, that's an acknowledgement that he's done something morally wrong. But if you read it as I have essentially screwed up, that's a little bit different, right? I made a mistake. I should have learned from my past lessons. There's no acknowledgement that he did something morally wrong. It's just more like, hey, I saw all these other things that happened. I should have learned from that, right? And what's the other thing with hapam? Is the implication, which is I screwed up or sinned this time, but all in the past I did not sin or screw up.
Right, and if it means that, let's go with that. One of the commentaries is going to reverse that, but let's say it does mean that. Is there anything in our understanding? Yes, I'll move it closer. Norm asked me to move the microphone closer. Is there anything in the content of the hail plague that suggests Pharaoh's chait, Pharaoh's mess up, Pharaoh's sin, any different than the others? Can we make sense of the hapa'am in that regard? Yeah, this time I screwed up. How? It's an interesting question, right? Because clearly the Torah wants to emphasize that Pharaoh is emphasizing something unique about this situation. But so far, we as the reader are not exposed to it. Right, so I'll leave it as an open question. I see your hands, but look at the unculus for a second. In terms of how we're supposed to understand chatati, and yes, in Jew speak, chatati means I've sinned. By the way, a sin is not always a moral sin, right? Sometimes a sin is a ritual sin. Sometimes a sin is a interpersonal sin. But it has to do with I sin vis-a-vis my understanding of my obligations to God and the Jewish people. Look how Unkelish renders it. Ushlach paro ukra l'moshe. So Pharaoh sent and called Moshe and Aaron. But Amaron said, lahon to them, chavit zimna. Chavit is from the root chova, meaning obligated. Now we think of obligated as obligated to mitzvot. In the section of Jewish law that has to deal with civil law, if there's a court case, either you are zoche, you've got the verdict on your side, or you're chove, or chova, meaning, or you're chayav, you're the one against whom the verdict went, right? So chavit, meaning I'm on the wrong side of on the seesaw, right? I lost this case, as it were, which is a little bit different than how we think of the Hebrew word sin, which either means that Unkelus thought of the biblical word sin, chatati, different than we do, or he's saying, yeah, I know it says chatati. We're not talking about a religious sin here. It's Pharaoh acknowledging, again, God's there on the right side, I'm on the wrong side. Rebecca, Stevie, and then Renee and Rick, and then Marshall.
I think it's interesting that he concludes with, I and my people are wicked. So he's sort of, you know, sharing this sin, but really passing the buck and blaming them also, bringing them into this, that I and my people are wicked.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about what the implication of the Ami is. And interestingly, on Harishaim, Unkelus also translates that as Chayabin. So Unkelus translates both the Chatati, which we translate as a sin, and Harishaim, the wicked ones. Unkelus renders them both in the language of Chova, of being on the wrong side of a judgment. Yeah, so is this Pharaoh throwing his people under the bus? Is he acknowledging that the entire society is on the wrong side of history? It's a good thing to add into the list of questions. Stevie.
Yeah, I think Pharaoh here is mostly just echoing Moshe's language. If you look back to Yud Daled, that's a Yud Daled, Kiba Pa'amazot Anisho Leach, that's called Magfosai, Elibecha Vavadecha Vamecha, Vavorteda Kien Kamoni Bechol Haaretz. Right, like the phrase Pa'am, right, Pa'amazot already appears here. And also it's God sending not just against Pharaoh, but against, you know, the Abdecha and Amecha and so forth. But then Pharaoh is, like, I think very consciously not saying that, oh, I've learned the lesson, which is what the plague was supposed to be about, right? Bavorteda, Kien Kamoni, right? He's simply saying Chatati, right? Like, it's a much more generic, I haven't really learned the lesson yet. I'm not conceding that point yet, but anyway, it seems to be a, you know, you said this was going to be a special plague, and I'll say it's a special plague. And
great pickup. I'd forgotten that line. That maybe it's just like a chiastic structure, right? This plague started with Hapam. We're not even sure why, and so it's going to conclude with Hapam. Great. Renee, Rick, Marshall, Sue.
So So two things. One, as far as the sinning, I was thinking very similar to Elon that, you know, he's messed up before, but this time he really messed up so badly that it was a sin. And the other question I have is more of a grammatical question.
Yeah.
That I'm unclear of. In Everett Fox, when it says this time, it has a dash between this and time. Does that mean anything?
Let me look at it and share the screen. Hold on. What verse are we on?
27?
27. Oh, okay. I'll share the screen so people know what she's talking about. Everett Fox is very careful to have the number, like, you know how in one language a word might be translated into a two or three or even four word phrase in another language. So Everett Fox wants to tell you that even though in good English we would translate hapam as this time, he wants you to know as you're reading the English that the phrase this time is one word in Hebrew. It's a word for word. So it's not, I don't think he's setting apart. It's not like, I always forget there's a hyphen and a dash, right? It's combining this and time as if it were one word in English. It's not one word in English, it's two words, but in Hebrew it's hapa'am. And he's just letting you know that that's the rendering of that one single word. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
That was Renee. Rick, and then Marshall, and then Sue.
Yeah, hi. Also on the Unculus, the Zimna Hada. In my Silverman, it looks like Hada with a hey, but Hada would be one, like Echad, right? Is Hada the same?
No, Hada means this.
Oh, and Zimna is time, like Zman?
Right, this instance, this, correct.
Okay, and then Zaka'a. Is like Zechut, God.
It's like Zoche, right. So again, if you're in a court case, either you're Zoche or you're Chayav. Either you're victorious or you're obligated. And so that's the Aramaic version of that.
Yeah, I just wanted to say also thanks to Stevie that verse 14 there, Unculus has Bezimna Hada as two separate words. No hyphen or anything like Fox, but there he describes it the same way. But oh, here in this one, there's a hyphen between, since we're talking about hyphens, the Zimna Hada here has a hyphen in Unculus. In 14, it's not there.
Well, in 14, you have Pamazot as two words.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank That's you, all. Rick. Marshall, Sue.
Okay. Sometimes I get my language mixed up. I thought that the word in modern Hebrew, atat sodek, means you're right. It doesn't mean you're righteous. You are right.
Correct.
And I think that Alter, in effect, has it totally correct in his translation, where he says, and Pharaoh sent and called to Moses and to Aaron and said to them, I have offended this time.
That's chatati. Nice.
The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong.
Very
and
good.
He has an additional comment, which I think is instructive here. As though Pharaoh were suggesting, I did nothing to offend before now, but I admit in the face of the destruction hurled from the heavens that this time I have done wrong.
Mm-hmm. So trying to understand what the hapa'am is. So Stevie was offering, it may just be a literary mirror, but trying to understand what in the content of the story is suggesting that something is different about Pharaoh's reaction this time versus last time. Interesting reference to Anit Sodeik. So even what concepts in different languages are rendered in verbs versus nouns and comparing those are interesting. When you say in English, I am right, the figure of speech of right it's sort of like an adjective, right? Right. It's an adjective describing the proper noun I, or the decision is right. The word right is an adjective just modifying the noun decision, right? In Hebrew, atat sodeik is a verb form. Sodeik is the present tense rendering of the root sadak and the pa'al form. you are being right. And in the past tense, if you say, if after a conversation, you realize the other person was correct, say, ah, tzadakta. It's just an interesting idea, as if like being right is rendered in Hebrew in an always verb form, as if it's a thing that's happening, not just a description of a thing, but a description of an action, right? What a verb is. Why that's the case, you know, it's so hard to disentangle that, but it's just interesting to note that we would never say in English, you are being right, you are writing. But in Hebrew, it's always sadakti. No, I am the one who in that situation was correcting, you know? Barry? Oh, and then Sue, but Barry has his hand on this one.
Sometimes it's an ego thing. We will use the adjective right to put ourselves in the position of being the right.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. Sue.
My thoughts are about this whole pasuk altogether. It sounds so it doesn't sound like it happened. It sounds like you're, you know,
as
like,
opposed to the God, other verses.
And, well, kind of. It sounds more like and God. So then Pharaoh called them again and said, "I have sinned. My people have sinned. I was wrong." And you know, it sounds it just sounds like an author, a narrator. Yeah, like some there's like that's
right. And it also, I imagine, to an ancient Hebrew and even medieval Jewish reader, and maybe even modern Jewish reader, how thrilling to read these verses, to have the tyrant say, "I've sinned," and to say that God is the righteous one, and we're evil. Like, that's our fantasy. Can you imagine if tomorrow morning Khaled Mashal got up and said, "You know what, we were wrong the whole time. Right? And we're in the wrong here." Like, it would be a messianic moment. So the fact that it appears, we're not yet free, but right. it almost appears like, you remember the movie Inglourious Basterds, right? Tarantino. So it was reviled and beloved in equal amounts, right? And one of the interesting commentaries I read about it, or maybe I heard a lecture on it, was like, it's like this orgiastic fantasy of the Jews having been able to come in and individually take care of Hitler. Like, we never could, but what if a secret Jewish brigade got in there and defeated the Nazis, right? It's the fantasy of the fantasy. So right in the middle of the seventh plague, you have verses that have the Israelites saying, or hearing from their uber arch tyrant, "Yeah, you're right, I'm wrong. It's not gonna last that long, but I'm wrong." Dan.
So. I haven't looked back at the other verses.
One second, Dan.
I haven't looked back at the other verses, but Pharaoh is using God's Yud-Heh Vav-Heh name, and I don't know whether he has done that before. Mm. And Pharaoh himself was regarded as a god, so in some sense he's saying, "Yeah, maybe your God is stronger than me."
Interesting. I'm acknowledging that God is Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, which means that God is a greater God than I presume to be. Yeah, I have to go back and see if in other verses the Torah puts Pharaoh in saying Yud-Heh Vav-Heh or Elohim.
When he says go pray to your God, he's using Yud-Heh Vav-Heh.
Yud-Heh Vav-Heh. Yeah. Barry, and then Marshall. And then I want to compare some translations, particularly if we have some ones from Larry.
So putting this in the context of, say, a basketball game or football, and so yeah, we stumbled this time, you know, we're going to get up and we're going to do better than that. We'll be on top of you the next time. This is just a fault in the game.
Yeah, good, Marshall.
I don't know what the word Adonai means, but I remember that earlier in the Torah, Adonai refers to the God of mercy, and Elohim refers to the God of judgment or justice. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the original version of this was Ha Elohim Hatzadik, Va'ani Va'ami Harishaim. I don't have access to this word document.
Yes. I mean, the notion of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh being Rachamim and Elohim being Din is a rabbinic overlay on, like, a convenient overlay that doesn't work all the time, that sometimes shows that Yud-Heh Vav-Heh is used in a moment where God is expressing the gentle side of the divine, and where Elohim is used in the judgment side. But if you did a use by use analysis of this in the entire Torah, it would break down. But it's a lovely frame when it works, and sometimes it's a frame to like force a verse to read something we didn't initially think it meant. That does not necessarily mean that's what Yud Hey Vav Hey meant when the Torah was given, right? But it's one way of thinking about it. I want to share some translations. So let me share the screen. Okay, so we read Everett Fox. I'll just read it again. Pharaoh sent and has Moshe and Aaron called and said to them, "This time, hyphen or dash, I have sinned, chatati." So Everett Fox translates it the way we think of the word chait as a sin. God is the one in the right. He did the same thing there, Renee, right? So in Hebrew, it's hatzadik, right? Adonai hatzadik. So Everett Fox translates that into a single word with hyphens, one in the right. I and my people are the ones in the wrong. So he's, in English, he's showing like an anti-parallel between tzaddik and rishaim, that is just two versions of this, two polar opposites. Remember, look what it says here. The terms are drawn from the world of legal, not religious terminology, right? The idea of whether or not the case will render you being victorious or your opponent victorious. Okay, JPS. Thereupon Pharaoh sent for Moses and said unto them, "I stand guilty this time." That's really interesting. That's different than "I have sinned." Adonai is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. So in that regard, he agrees with Everett Fox, or they agree with Everett Fox. Koren. And Paro sent and called for Moshe and Aaron and said to them, "I have sinned this time," like Everett Fox. "The Lord is righteous." That's using a modern understanding of what tzaddik means. I would say to Koren with humility, I'm not sure that's what it meant back then. What do I know? "And I and my people are wicked." Okay. Matsuda. Pharaoh sent to them and called for Moshe and Aaron and said to them, "This time I have sinned." We've seen that. Adonai is the righteous one, hatzadik, right? And it's almost like not just saying God is right this time, but God is the platonic concept of right, and I and my people are the sinners. Sinners is different than Rishaim. But is this Matsuda? Yeah, Matsuda is basically saying that even though the Torah uses two words, right, chataim and rishaim, we should understand it the same way, which, by the way, is what Unkelus did. Unkelus turned both of those words into the same Aramaic, this notion from chova, the ones who are on the wrong side of the case. Let's just look at one more at Charles Kahana, and then we'll see if Arya Kaplan has any. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, "This time I admit my sin." Like that. It's not written that way, but I like that. "The eternal is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong." Right? Okay. Larry, any interesting ones in front of you?
Well, you already heard
Alter.
Alter. And I'll read you Kaplan in a second. So just think what I've been trying to do, is we've got three words we're looking at. Chatati, Hatzadik, and Arishaim. So the Chatati, we're varying between guilty and sinning, although I think one of them said, "I'm in the wrong. And then the Hatzadik, we mainly have the difference between I've offended, I have sinned. And we have a couple, the last two we read are the same as Kaplan. God is just.
That's Adonai Tzaddik.
Right.
Right, with this uber concept.
Right.
Not just right in this time, but I'm recognizing that God equals justice almost.
And Vahmi HaRishayim, most of them are that wrong. The people, I and the people are wrong, is the last one. But here, Kaplan joins that group that says wrong. But at least the last one you read said, we're sinners, we're rishayim, or we're wicked. Nobody uses the word wicked or evil.
We saw one wicked, I think.
Was it? Okay.
What did Kaplan do for that? Wrong.
Wrong. He goes back to he goes to what I call this the majority opinion.
Whoops. Let's go.
We have a drill.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Zoomers, we have a fire drill. Or a
fire. I hear it.
Hopefully we'll be back, so stick around.
We'll be here.
Okay.
No fire drill for us, Ray.
you guys in.
I could go outside my house in support
in solidarity.
Of solidarity. Yeah, we should all stand outside the house.
Oh, it's kind of gloomy right now.
Be good role models for the kids. Don't talk in line. Okay.
Are you reading McGill on the forum?
Not for the Library of Minion. I decided I wanted to be with the kids this year just to do something different. So I'm going to be upstairs in the sanctuary. They just do like a half a dozen pieces, and I'm basically there in case a kid doesn't show up. But I just wanted to do something different.
That's at 6:45, right?
Yeah.
7:45, 6:45?
Yeah, they start at the same time, right? Mincha is supposed to be like 6 something or other. Then there's the dinner first. And then I thought it was 7:45.
It might be.
Ma'ariv. Yeah, they're starting at the same time. So I'm going to do Ma'ariv down below in the chapel, and then I'm going to go up to the sanctuary. But somebody else is covering the chapter 6 that I usually do with the horses. But I'll do it upstairs. I mean, I'll make noises upstairs. It'll be okay.
A long alarm there.
Still going, yeah.
On a positive note, 90 terrorists were killed today.
90?
Terrorists killed in Gaza hospital.
90? 90?
Yeah. And 300 arrested.
They must
have
been.
IDF operation in Gaza hospital continues.
In the tunnel underneath or something?
I don't know. It seems like it was in the hospital area, Gaza hospital.
In the actual building? Yeah.
I just hope it's peaceful during Purim over there. They don't use Purim as like we have in other holidays.
Another attack? Well, we better be ready, regardless.
I know I have a cousin who's in the police department. He works in the police department, and when they have had issues with the war, they bring him in to be involved in that. Yeah. And he said he being sent out to Yerushalayim for the month of Ramadan. They can have added protection.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really going there.
Yeah. You think the rabbi could have them do it outside of 8:30 to 9:30, you know?
Right?
I guess he doesn't have any clout.
Or not enough.
Not enough.
So I was going to ask, maybe you know the answer. In most of the translations that he's read, it was Pharaoh sent and had Moshe and Aaron called. In mine, it says summoned.
Yeah. Either one.
Do you think that means something differently?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You could ask him. But it's weird that it starts off, Pharaoh sent,
right,
and then he called. You didn't need both verbs. So,
and they're almost opposite. Time backwards.
Yeah, well, I would read it as he sent out messengers to get Moses and Aaron, and then he called when they were in front of him. He started talking to them, but then that's the Vayomer Aleihem. So you got three verbs. You got Vayishlach, Vayikra, and then Vayomer. So you should ask him about it. I don't know what to do with it. They should be back soon.
Remain on field.
I'm going to look back to see if, and Vayikra is this week. You could throw that in there if you like. Vayikra is the Torah portion this week. So that's
Are there any
nice.
Interesting trope things in this sentence?
No, hapa'am is the fulcrum, the pivot point. Chatati hapa'am. So it's the most ancient trope is the etnachta. It's the most important in just a normal sentence, you know, A, B, and then C, D. The end of the first clause is that's one idea. But I was going to look back to see if I saw any other Vayikras to compare. They're not back yet, huh? Mm-hmm. Vayikra. Stevie has a better memory than. Yeah.
I don't know if they'll be back. I hope it's okay. I hope there's not an actual fire.
Or some kind of thing that they wanted to investigate. I can't imagine there's any kind of unescorted bag or a box or something.
No.
That doesn't happen.
Well, as annoying as that sound is, you know, I think of all the kids in Israel. We're hearing these sirens going off constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the whole country is going to be under PTSD for a long, long time.
Yeah.
You have family in Israel, Rick?
Yeah, I have cousins there that I'm not really in touch with. I saw the last Vayikra is back in chapter 8, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
Vayikra Faro, he calls to Moses and Aaron, and then he says, go and you can sacrifice to your gods. There it's
Where is that? Let me see if it says summon in there. What was that? What
it's
verse?
8. No, there's no summon. It's just I was looking for Vayikra. That's verse 8. Sorry, chapter 8, verse 21. 8:21. He called for Moses and Aaron.
Yeah, it's translated in as summoned on in mine as well.
Really? Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can ask him about it. So that there, Pharaoh says, you can go make sacrifices to Lelohechem, to your gods, could be plural. And then Moses answers, we're going to worship Adonai, Nisbach L'Adonai, Eloheinu. So he's got both names there. Anyway, I was looking for another Vayishlach and a Vayikra. And they're still not back. Okay, then in chapter 8, verse 4, there's another Vayikra. Pharaoh calls Moses and Aaron, and there he also says, he says, Hatiru El Adonai, entreat to take
also
the frogs
summoned.
Away. You have some in there also?
There's some in there too.
So the Vayikra summon. Yeah.
So it seems like a stronger word to me than called. In English, I mean.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and literally Vayikra, the beginning of Leviticus, Moses isn't Vayikra. It's Moses calling to God or God calling to Moses. Because there definitely wouldn't be Moses summoning God.
Right,
that wouldn't
right.
be right.
No.
I'm looking it up in the Chumash here. Oh, God. God calls Moses. Yeah, Vayikra el Moshe with the little Aleph. But, yeah. Can see what the rabbi makes of it.
If they come back.
I think it stopped. I don't hear it anymore. You hear it?
No, I don't hear it either.
Yeah, I think they stopped the recording.
And then he's going to be, we're not going to have class for the next couple weeks, right?
That's what he said, yeah.
Because they're going to all be traveling.
In the Balkans, wherever they're going, yeah.
Have you done any of these temple trips?
No. No, I don't have the money for that kind of thing.
I haven't done any.
Ugh. And then there's another Vayikra in chapter 7 when he calls his wise men and the sorcerers, or some, it's probably some in there also.
7:11.
There's a Vayikra there.
Mm-hmm. Summoned again, yeah.
But I was looking
that, maybe
for,
he likes that word better.
Yeah, I was looking for Vayishlach, like we have it here. I thought I'd seen it before.
We're back.
We're here. We've continued. We came up with some great revelations.
Yeah. Yeah, I made those errors myself. Yeah.
Well, they waited.
So Rabbi Rick and I came up with some great revelations while you were gone. We just figured it all out.
Okay. Can you hear me again?
Yep.
I think I probably closed the Facebook live stream. I did it. I don't know. Let's see. All right, we might not be getting back on. Well, maybe I'll try. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can get back onto Facebook. Well, it's not giving me that option, which makes me think it's already still Facebook living. Yeah. Okay. We'll continue with. Okay. Where were we? Larry, were you talking about? I don't remember where we were. We were like.
We finished the translation.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
We finished the translations.
We finished the translation. Okay. Let's go to the commentaries on this verse, because there's two I want to share with you. Let me pull them up and I'll share the screen.
Wait, can I ask you a question before you get to that? Because Rick and I were talking about it.
Yeah.
In my version of the book, of the sentence, it says that it doesn't say that Moshe and Aaron were called. It says they were summoned. You think that that makes a difference?
Well, it's all about how to translate Vayishlach Paro. Vayishlach Paro, we saw this before, it doesn't mean he sent something. They're sort of like a sent for, and it's almost like the two verbs in the verse should be understood together. Vayishlach Paro Vayikra. Like, he sent word and called Moshe and Aaron. So "were summoned" turns it into a passive verb rather than active verb, but it's the same basic concept, I think. Okay. I'm going to share screen. Look at the Ramban. The Rambam versus the Ramban. That's how Rabbi Riskin, whose yeshiva I studied at for a semester, would distinguish between it, because you have the Rambam Rambam, Ramban, they're very similar. So he would say that the way you distinguish it is that which syllable you stress, it's the Rambam and the Ramban. So this is the Ramban. Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman. Okay.
We also have the chorus, Rambam and Rambam.
Rambam and Rambam. Yes, I would like to hear Rambam teach Rambam's material. Okay. Chatati hapam. Everyone see the screen? Beoro hapam, the explanation of the word hapam, Beiro, the explanation is hapam odet ladonai. This time, what's the significance of this time? Not that this time I've sinned, even though that's the way the Trump says it, but this time I'm not going to acknowledge God. Ki chatati, for I realize that I've sinned, lo, towards God. Vehu hatzadik, and God is the righteous one. Va'ani ami v'harishaim, and I and my people are the wicked ones or the wrong. Shemaradnu bidvaro, we rebelled against his word. Me'az v'arata, from then until now. So if you look at the way the footnote explains it, Rambam is basically disagreeing with the Trup. If you look at the Trup, it's clear that the word hapa'am, the this time, goes with chatati. Vayomer aleihem, he said to them, chatati hapam, I sinned this time. And then it's Adonai hatzadik, a different musical idea. Basically, the Ramban is reading it as Vayomer aleihem chatati hapam Adonai hatzadik. This time I acknowledge that God is in the right. So remember, the Trup tells a story, and we have this idea that the Trup is halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. It's as old as the text itself, but that doesn't mean that you can't argue with the Trup. And this is the Chevelle's footnote on what Ramban says. Ramban points out that this is, where is it? Ramban transposes the words chatati hapam Hashem atzadik and explains them as follows. This time, what's the this time? This time I'm acknowledging the Eternal because chatati, I've sinned against him. So basically puts the chatati either after or puts the chatati on its own. Me'omer Elohim hapam Adonai atzadik, this time I acknowledge God as the righteous one, chatati, I must have sinned. Creative, right? And now look at Chizkuni. On the screen, Adonai HaTzadik. Bechol HaMakot, Lo Amar Paro Adonai HaTzadik. We've never seen Pharaoh say this before, right? So in that regard, there is something about Ahapam. Like, this is new language. Ele B'Makat Barad. It's only with hail that Pharaoh says this praise of God's utter righteousness. Bilvad, only. V'lam Namar, why did he say it that way? Ella Adam Shehu Rotzeh Lehilachem Im Chaberu. If you want to battle your, it's interesting he's used the word chaver, your opponent. You wanna really engage in battle. Ulurotzcho, and to eliminate him, kill him. Pitom hu ba'ala v'horgo. You come quickly, right? You don't send leaflets. You come if the desire is to be victorious. You come pitom, surprise, and you kill him. This time, God said to Pharaoh, I'm giving you a very, like, you don't have to suffer a single loss this time, right? The previous ones, God said, because you've been intransigent, you're going to suffer a loss and see what happens. This time, according to Chizkuni, read it as God saying, I'm giving you all the information in advance to allow you to emerge unscathed. That's an act of a righteous, powerful force, and not a tyrant. And Pharaoh's beginning to understand, oh, this is a different, you were saying before, Diane, like he's a better God than I am. Oh, this is a way of wielding power. I didn't even think about that. Give the people that I'm fighting against an opportunity to escape beforehand. Wow, Adonai HaTzadik, right? And that's what Chizkuni says is what's different about this plague versus the others. Ilan, I saw your hand half up, no? So I thought those both of those were interesting reads. Rick, I see your hand. I don't know if it's up again or still.
It was off of Marshall's question about Adonai and Elohim. I just wanted to say it's coming up in the next verse. You have both. And there it's Kolot Elohim Uvarad, where before it was just Kolot Uvarad. Uh-huh. So I just wanted to throw that in the mix. I don't know what it says about mercy or no mercy, but they're both there. So,
okay. So since so let's go there since we're there. Let's see. Who have we not heard from? Joel, do you want to read the next verse? Did we lose Alan in the fire, Joel?
Yeah, we did.
Just couldn't get out in time, huh? Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Etiru el Adonai v'rav mehiyot kolot Elohim uvarad v'ashalcha etchem v'lo tesifun le'emod.
Okay, see what you can do with that. We've had that root ayin taf resh before, meaning, remember what it means?
Entreat,
plead. Look at the way Uncle is translates as tsalo. Tsari lamed yud in Aramaic means to pray. Titkabel tsloton uvaoton. Receive our prayers and our requests. So it's basically daven. Daven el Adonai.
Okay, so plead with your God.
This is hard to render. So if you're, see what we can work out.
And many from being the thunder of God and lightning.
Perfect. Many from being the thunder of God. Right. That's what it looks like. It says, but we don't know how to handle it. Rav clearly means many or a lot. This is not Rav as rabbi. Mihiyot, you're exactly right. Me is the preposition mean from, and hayot is the gerund of being. Many from being, kolot Elohim, the great thunders of God, and the hail. So keep going and see if we can back understand it.
And I will send you, and we cannot stand anymore.
Belotosifun is you, second personal plural.
And you will not add more?
Yeah, right? Hard verse to translate.
But what's la'amod?
Well, la'amod means to stand. The question is, what is it doing in the verse, right? Right? We might have an instinct to say something like, if when Pharaoh's talking about the Israelites, he might be threatening them that you're no longer going to be able to stand because I'm going to defeat you. I'm going to beat you down. Look how Uncleus translates la'amod. Le'it akava. From the root akev, ayin kaf bet. Anyone know what akev means? To delay. So Uncleus is translating it as something like genug, I'm done. Lo tosifun, you will not continue la'amod, to remain. Something like to remain here, to stand here. So it seems to be some kind of a surrender, but we're not sure how to handle the rav and the miyot kolot. We'll actually look at translations in a second, but anyone who is not looked at translations, not that there's anything wrong with that, but if we can find some like organic ways of trying to handle what those words mean, anyone want to give a suggestion? How to handle the Rav Mihiot Kolot? Okay, so let's look at some translations, and then we'll look at Rashi, and we'll see which of the translations kind of anticipates Rashi or agrees with Rashi. It wouldn't anticipate it, obviously, would follow Rashi. Let's share the screen. Okay, so I'm going to start with Everett Fox. I like his. Plead with God for enough. That's how he renders Rav. Enough. We normally wouldn't think of it that way, right? But can anyone think of a liturgical place that is said weekly where the single word Rav means enough?
Weekly.
Rav lach shevet be'emek habacha in l'charodi. It's enough that you have been like sitting in the valley of tears, right? It's time to get up and celebrate Shabbat. Rav lach, it's enough for you. And we had that in the Korach story when Korach says, right, like it's you've had enough standing over us. So Rav can mean many, but many in the sense of too much. So for enough is, let's see what the note here is. Yeah, or enough of their being, because he's trying to handle the word hayot as the good gerund of the verb to be. Enough of their being, kolot Elohim, these God thunder, this hail. It's his way of saying, uncle, I yield. Enough of this. Not enough because there's a lot. So enough is related to a lot, but we should translate it as enough according to him. Let me send you free, va'ashalcha etchem. By the way, that form, I forgot the name of it in good biblical grammar. It's not just a future tense. I think it's maybe jessive, the name of the form. It's the hey at the end of va'ashalcha is because it's not just a future tense verb, which would have been va'ashalach or v'shalachti in v'vayipuch. It's some kind of a letter. It's like hava nagila is in that form, right? The hey at the end changes the, like nagila, if you want to say we will rejoice, it's nagil, but nagila is let us, right? So enough of there being the God thunder in the tail, let me send you free. Do not continue staying here. So we understood Loto Sifun as a prediction. You will not be. Everett Fox translates it as a imperative. Don't continue to stand here, stay here. Okay, that's Everett Fox. JPS. Plead with God that there may be an end of God's thunder and hail. So what does JPS ignore in the verse? Well, we haven't gotten to that part. The JPS ignores Rav. It doesn't render it. Let there be an end. Ah, nice.
I don't think he's ignoring it.
What part of that English is the Rav?
Enough already.
Yeah, I mean, he's not ignoring in the sense that the meaning changes, but there's no rendering of that. There's no enoughness. There's a plea for it to be over, but that's a different concept. He's almost what's the word when you don't quote directly? You
paraphrase.
It's more of a paraphrase, which is fine. I will let you go. More like a pure future tense. You need stay no longer. That's different. That's very different than what does Ever Fox translate as an imperative? Like you're gonna leave now, Corin. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more, that's the Rav stuff, mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Matsuda, pray to Adonai, there has been enough, there's the Rav as Dai, of God's thunder and hail, I will send you out without further delay. Also a little bit of a paraphrase. And then I'll share with you one more, and then we'll listen to what Larry has to say. Charles Kahana, pray to the Lord and let there be an end, right? It's harder to translate Rav as end than it is to translate it as enough to this supernatural thunder. I like that. Kolot Elohim, right? Supernatural thunder and hail. And I will let you go and you shall stay no longer. It's a hard verse to translate. Larry. Hold on, microphone.
Before I give Alters and Ari Kaplan's translations, I think all the ones you read have it wrong.
Okay.
In one respect, kolot Elohim uvarad. For me, that's clearly saying that the kolot, the thunder, is from God, and the barad, the hail, is incidental to what God is doing. Or you could say what's really impressing Pharaoh is the kolot and not the barad.
Interesting.
He's seen the barad.
He can tolerate the plague, but not God's thundering.
Yeah, and none of them even.
The first one did. The first one said God thunder hyphenated.
The Everett Fox, but that's because we learned from the rabbi already the business about the hyphen.
Yeah.
So you're right about that.
God thunder and this hail. Yeah.
In fact, God thunder shouldn't have a hyphen because it's two words. So the fact that he hyphenated it says something.
That's okay. Interesting too.
Yeah. All right, so we got altar. And.
I think he hyphenates it to say it's somehow subtly different than the thunder that God brought, but more like it's godly thunder. It's like immense thunder, God thunder. I think he's doing that not because it was one word in Hebrew, because he thinks that the meaning of the Hebrew is not just the thunder that belongs to God, but like God thunder.
So now it makes me wonder if Everett Fox distinguishes between an M dash and an N dash.
What's that?
They're two kinds.
One and the short one.
One's short and one's long. Mm. And you can read the Chicago Manual of Style to figure out which is
which.
Well,
he's got both in this verse. In this verse, he has, here, I'll share with you again. Come on, computer.
He's making a compound word, but he
he doesn't want to run it together. He puts the hyphen.
So he has God thunder the tail. Let me send you free, long dash. Do not continue staying here. Okay, go ahead.
So this is altar. Entreat the Lord and no more of God's thunder and hail.
No more, okay.
So that he says God's thunder and hail, which runs them together. Mm-hmm. And let me send you off and you shall not continue to stay.
Okay.
And his only comment is no more, literally enough or much.
Okay, and then...
So that's nothing new for us.
Arya Kaplan.
Arya Kaplan says, pray to God. There has been enough of this supernatural thunder and hail. I will let you leave. You will not be delayed again.
Delay. That's working off of Uncleus. We can have delay. Give me two more minutes so we can just read the Rashi, because that way we can at least end having completed this verse. Rashi has a very short comment, and we've sort of gone there, because what Rashi says on the word Rav, forgive me, Joel, I just want to take this on. Virav, die low, dayenu. It's enough of it. And who's the low?
No.
Because the Rav is already in Pharaoh's voice, so Rashi is commenting sort of within the quotation marks. When Pharaoh says Rav, meaning Dilo, and enough of God, I think is what he's saying. It's enough that he's doing this. Bameh Shehareed Kfar. What God already brought down, I get it. I can take the hint. I'm a changed man. He's going to change again in the future. But right now, I consider myself to have enough. You don't have to pummel me any longer, right? And I actually think that's the best rendering of the Rav, right? A lot meaning enough, right? A lot meaning more than I need it. Too much stuff. Diane, last comment?
So I wonder if the God thunder is the same God thunder that scared the Israelites at Sinai, right?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely going to have that language, Vayart HaKolot, and the people saw the thunder, and they were scared. Yeah.
Okay. Which
thunder? This is plague, what number?
Seven.
Oh, yeah. On that note, everyone, have a good day and early Shabbat Shalom. Chag Purim Sameach. Come to the Purim Spiel Saturday night. Come to the Purim Suda on Sunday. See some of you in Ljubljana. And we'll see you in class 3 weeks from today.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcast site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.